This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm sure it was a quiet and eventful weekend for you.
Oh, yeah. Not much to do.
On Thursday, the governor announcing the statewide school closure through the end of the month. And for Roseburg Public Schools, you had to take some quick action.
Yeah, there was a pivot from the governor's office. We had to communicate. We communicated what we knew up to that point, and then there was a change in that message. And we worked to get the message out. The schools were going to be closed.
And so close through the end of the month, people look ahead and say, well, what does that do to the calendar? Are kids going to be going to school clear into July?
Well, I think as this is a statewide closure, and there's closures regionally and across the country and across the world, I've had several parents reach out concerned about, you know, what does this mean for June, July? I do think we'll see, in the event of an extended closure beyond what we have, I think we'll be talking about the possibility of waivers for instructional hours. I don't know. There's much we don't know about that yet, but I think the first thing to prioritize is just keeping kids and our community and staff healthy at this point, socially distancing, and we'll worry about what that looks like statewide and probably across our region and country later.
Well, and this is really evolving, and this has been one of those situations where if you have my job, you put out a piece of information and an hour later you're changing it because everything is moving. There are a lot of moving pieces, a lot of people involved. So for Roseburg Schools, talk about the academics. So they're out to the end of the month. Talk about the athletic implications there.
Yeah, really everything right now is on hold and not even really postponed at this point. They're cancellations. So what we do know is that through this month, there'll be no practices, no competitions. All district facilities are closed. And that means our field space. And so there will be no competitions. I'm interested to see how OSAA and the state takes into account, you know, these practices and competitions. We do know major sports teams, NBA and other ones, have also canceled what appears to be through the season. But we will see, I think, as this evolves, as we learn more about its progress with the COVID-19, what that means for us.
And obviously for the sports teams, you can shrink the season a bit, but there comes to a point, if this goes longer, that it's almost undoable to even do certain sports and gets very complicated with people's schedules and everything between the districts. One of the questions that came out first and one of the governor's concerns last week in the press conference, when initially, really in a series of press conferences, going from the idea of not canceling schools to indeed canceling them, was one of the concerns about kids, what it does with families, and particularly those folks who are more vulnerable to food insecurity. What about the Roseburg District? What are you doing?
Yeah, I would say right now, if you were to ask me my number one concern, it probably does get down to the fact that we've got, you know, we really have thousands of kids that eat daily at our schools, and that would be breakfast and lunch. The school closure for me initially, I think for our entire district, probably for the entire state, really the first thing was, how do we get kids fed? And We, as you have reported, I appreciate that, all of our school sites are open for breakfast and lunch. That'll be a grab-and-go style breakfast and lunch. It'll be hot or cold grab-and-go, and that'll happen at the sites. I have had a couple people reach out with a concern about hosting kids at the facilities, but a clarification on that is that the sites are available. Kids will pick up a grab-and-go, but not be in the cafeteria to eat. So literally it's a grab-and-go, but at the sites. And then we do have some additional lunch box express sites for other spots. So we'll have 16 places where our kiddos can eat, and those meals are free, anybody 0 to 18. And we hope that people will take advantage of that.
Now, for the current time period, did you make other schedule adjustments for when you anticipate being back early in April and changing one of the days around, I think?
We did, and we'll just take a look. I'm interested to see what happens. I anticipate we're supposed to receive more information next week about if there's an extended closure or not. In the short term, we did take what was a grading day, a non-student contact day on April 3rd, and because staff are working on assessments at home and working on That they're going to prepare grades for progress reports during the closure, and we'll have now Friday, April 3rd, be a student contact day.
And at this point, making other changes is essentially premature until you know where this is going to all shake out.
It is. It's premature. I mean, we've certainly had an eye on what's happening to the north of us in Washington, to the south of us. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility an extended closure could go into April, but we will see.
Wow. So what's it like when you're trying to plan a district and you know, manage people and all of that when you get faced with this?
Yeah, it's. I think it helps. It helps us refocus on what matters the most, and so certainly making sure people are safe, people are fed, and there still are operations that need to happen. There's things we have bills to pay still. There's still things in a large organization that need to happen. So some of those essential school functions will still occur, but it has caused us to audit a couple of things around instructional technology. There are good moments to pause and say how ready we are for just being able to pivot and be thoughtful and innovative. So they've been good moments of reflection for us.
As I've been following this evolving situation from the national vantage point, and they've talked about in other places at the higher level, community college and up, about remote instruction, but then you get down into grade level and really anything high school and under, where the question is, well, not everybody has access to technology. We've heard today that some of the providers are making that available free during this period of time, but just actually having the technology can you ultimately make that work for, you know, somebody that's in second or third grade, things like that. So there's probably a lot of things to look at for the future.
There are things that we've talked about even over the last 8 months. There's areas in which we need to get better. We don't really have a strong, in my opinion, learning management system that we could do online. There are things we dabble in, Clever, Google Classroom, but they're not really systematic the way they could be and should be here. We don't really have a one-to-one, a true one-to-one implementation right now. And the truly, like you'd mentioned, from an equity standpoint, you could implement both of those things, but if students and parents don't have online access, if we internally don't have great filtering systems, then it's premature to say we could do that. I think it's a work in progress here in Roseburg Public Schools.
Yeah, and obviously if for instance, if students were issued a computer of some kind, but you mentioned that being tied into it being a district computer, all the things that are involved in there, the safety and all of that, it gets pretty complicated.
Yeah, it's not as easy as sticking a device in a student's hands. We have to do work with the community. There's several patrons who probably think getting a device into a kid too early, and I think I fall into that category as well as a parent, is not always the best thing to do. So it takes a more thoughtful implementation. It has made me reflect on the things we need to be thinking about moving forward, but that's something we'll continue to work on.
And that so much of teaching is the teacher communicating with the students in that setting, the students listening to each other, you know, asking questions, learning from others' questions, things like that, that are a lot harder to do, especially K-12 or at least K-6 in a home setting. If you are just watching the teacher, for instance, instructing on a video link you had on your computer.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, brick and mortar schools have been around. I think will be around for a long, long time, because it's nearly an impossibility, in my opinion, to replace a great teacher in a classroom with kids. I don't know that technology can do that. I think technology has moved to some creative ways to help us better understand some things, but certainly I don't believe could have replaced that.
Superintendent Jared Corden of the Roseburg School District, anything else you want to convey to folks this morning?
No, I would just say we recognize the burden this has put on families, the burden it's put on the challenge it is. I think it's interesting. I've gotten several emails this week. My feeling and belief is humanity will win on this. There's a sense of maybe panic out there of this concern, which is real, about health and safety. I have seen even this morning example after example of wonderful people in our community coming together to help one another, and we want to be part of that solution. We're grateful for our families who've had you've had to adjust to this. And, you know, I have a sense that we're going to be good going through this. I think this could strengthen our community. I think it will.
All right. Superintendent Jared Corden in the Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
841 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.